This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وصحبه أجمعين وبعد اسم الله الحي القيوم اسم الله الحي القيوم. And this is two names that I'm going to talk about together because the second one only comes with the first one. Al-Hayy is in the Quran 5 times and Al-Qayyum is in the Quran 3 times. And the 3 times Al-Qayyum is in the Quran, it's always affiliated, associated with Ismullah Al-Hayy. So talking about them together makes sense. Hayy is the alive, or is the all-living, or is the grantor of life. All are appropriate. And maybe before I do that, the goes back a little bit. So this is the fourth category. Or no, which category are we now? No, this is the fifth one. Fifth. So I skipped the fourth. We'll come back to it at the end of the month because it's more appropriate towards the Ashr al-Akhir. So the fifth category, the attributes of presence. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that point out His presence, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in which way He is present, jalla jalalu. Some of these names, you'll find them in more than one category because depending on how we explain them, they'll have slightly different meanings. Depending on what angle you want to look at the name can have more than one meaning. So some of them are repeated in different categories. But we're going to talk about the names of that point out His presence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-hayy al-qayyum, I think, is probably one of the most relevant ones. And al-qayyum is the self-subsisting, or the self-sustaining. Al-qa'im bi nafsihi, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one that takes care of his own life. We don't have that. You know, our lives, we don't grant them to ourselves, and then we don't actually sustain our own lives. Maybe you don't take away your own life by doing something that you shouldn't do. Maybe you help keep it moving forward by nurturing yourself with food. But when we talk about subsisting your own life, you don't really control the biology of your body. You don't control the adherence of your spirit to your body. So we can't call ourselves self-subsisting beings. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hayy, He is the all-living, He is the alive, and al-qayyum, and he is self-subsisting, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some scholars actually look at this name and believe that it's Ismullah al-Azam. It is the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there is no consensus on that name, but al-hayy al-qayyum is one of the very well-known contenders for that position. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the most famous and the greatest ayah within the Mus'haf, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only, and He is the alive, and He is a self-subsisting. And He is not taken by fatigue, nor does He sleep. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the famous hadith spoke to Ubay bin Ka'b, and he said, مَا أَعْظَمُ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ. What is the greatest ayah in the Qur'an? And Sayyidina Ubay, who was probably the the most knowledgeable of the Sahaba in terms of the verses of the Qur'an, he suggested and he said, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ لِيَهْنِكَ الْعِلْمُ أَبَى الْمُنذِرِ. Meaning, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you happiness and satisfaction with the amount of knowledge that He has granted you, O Abu al-Mundhir, which is His name, radiyallahu anhu, because He got it right, radiyallahu anhu wa ardah. Because the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat al-Kursi, it's a verse that is very descriptive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Probably no other verse in the Qur'an is even remotely close in terms of how well and to what profoundness it describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest contender is Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. If you take the beginning of Surah Al-Imran, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. You find it again in Surah Taha, وَعَنَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّومِ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ حَمَلَ ظُلْمًا. And all of the faces on the Day of Judgment will be in a position of complete submission to the Hayy and to the Qayyum, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who carry oppression will be in a very difficult situation. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ. And depend upon the alive, the one that never dies. and exalt him and praise him. هُوَ الْحَيُّ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَادْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ He is the alive, he is the all-living. So call upon him and supplicate him with full sincerity and say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his ahadith, he would say astaghfir after salah, the hadith in collection of Imam Tabarani, astaghfirullah al-azim alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. And he would say, saying that after salah three times, qala ghufira dhanbuhu wa infarra min az-zahf. Your deeds will be forgiven even if you ran away on the day of battle. And the reason, as scholars point out, is because the additional piece is La ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum, the living and the self-subsisting. A beautiful dua that he would make, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would say, Allahumma laka aslamt, to you I submit, wa bika amant, in you I believe, wa alayka tawakkalt, and upon you I depend, wa ilayka anabt, and to you I repent, wa bika khasamt, and through you I make enemies or I make animosities. Wa ilayka hakamt, and to you I take all of my issues, all of my disputes. Allahumma inni a'udhu bi'izzatika la ilaha illa anta an tudillani. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you. There is no God but you, that you ever allow me to go astray. Anta al-hayyu alladhi la yamut, wal jinnu wal insu yamutun. You are the alive, the one that will never die. And human beings and jinn, they all die. There is absolutely no blessing that is even remotely close to the importance and the significance of life. Life is the ultimate blessing. Right after that is guidance. And those are the two blessings that are talked about the most by far in the Quran. If you take the blessings, those two are talked about the most, the most frequent ones that come up. But the most important of all is the concept of life, of just being alive, to the point where kufr itself became kufr because it was in opposition to the blessing of life. Right? Kufr is for you is to cover something. That's why villages are called kufr, because the soil that covers things. If you look at it, it's just a lot of land. So the concept of kufr is to cover something up. In the context of a blessing, instead of acknowledging it and being grateful for it, it's being covered up. It's being acted like it's not there. So regular blessings, that's fine. But then if you take the ultimate blessing, which is life, and you cover that one up, meaning you refuse to acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, meaning you refuse to acknowledge His existence altogether, that's kufr. You don't believe in God altogether. So the concept of kufr in its essence is just refusing to acknowledge blessings, but if you take it to the ultimate blessing, which is life, which is this opportunity that we're given here on earth, then it turns into kufr and disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's how the correlation actually works. Because this whole experience would not exist without life. Life is what this is, what we're experiencing right now, this short period of time that we're here, through which we're able to contemplate and reflect and make choices, and either take and accept guidance or not. It's life. So this is seen as the most beautiful of all blessings. We didn't always have it though. It's always not always something that we had. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. A time has came on the human being when he was nothing to be mentioned. Meaning he wasn't a concept yet. And if you said the word insan, that wouldn't mean anything. There's no meaning to it because there's nothing that is an insan yet, and there's no reference to what that word actually means to begin with. And it's interesting that he explains it that way, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because what he's trying to say, there's a lot of things, لَمْ يَكُنْ أَوْ الْآنْ لَيْسَ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. There are many things now that are not concepts that are meaningful. Meaning you throw out a word and we don't know what it means, but it has a meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and creations that are living elsewhere or something, and what we know is very limited. We only have references and we only have meanings to words that have applications in the world that we live in. If you throw out a word that I don't understand the meaning of, then I sit there, I don't know what to say. You have to explain to me what you're talking about. So the word insan, there was a time but didn't mean anything. It was just a sound that had no, was not attached to a concept. There was a time that we never existed before, and obviously there's a time we won't exist again. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجُهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everyone on it, on the earth. فَانِ means it's finite. It's finite, everything will end. Nothing continues except the face of your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything will die. Everything will cease to exist except his face subhanahu wa ta'ala, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Three times in the Quran. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Every soul will taste death, and then you will all return to us on the day of judgment. When he speaks about those who are claimed to be gods, وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ أَمْوَاتٌ غَيْرُ أَحْيَاءٌ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبَعَثُونَ. Whatever it is you're calling upon aside from Allah, it's dead. They have no life in them, and they don't even know when they're going to be resurrected. They have no understanding of any of it. To them, this is completely uncharted territory. He is al-hayy subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is muhyi al-mawta. He is the all-living, he is the alive subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is the one who grants life to that which doesn't have it. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. He gives an example subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am. Is the one whom is dead. And here he's not referring, and I start with this, he's not referring to biological death. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about death, he's not, and life, he is not restricting it to biological death and life. He is talking about an aspect of life that is probably just as important, if not more important, which is the life of the spirit, which is the life of the soul. الحيات الروح, حيات القلب, حيات النفس. Because if they're not alive, or at least not in the form that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be, then breathing and consuming energy is not that impressive. We have that in common with almost every other living thing on the planet. Every monocell organism does that. Consumes energy and consumes oxygen. And it's not that complicated after you kind of get the basic idea of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about life, he's not just talking about that life. As important as that piece is, because once it's over, it's over. You don't get another chance. You don't come back again to try one more time. You don't respawn somewhere. It's over. It's done. It's one shot. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I granted you this life. Grant yourself the next step of life. Make sure that you actually take on your, be able to benefit from actually living. And this is what he explains here. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا, the one that is dead. Are they similar, the one who is dead? وَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهَا. And we granted them life. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. We granted them a light where they can use to walk amongst people. كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. Is that similar to someone who exists in the dark? لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. Will never get out of the dark. They'll never be out of the dark. Is that similar to someone who was dead, granted life through the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them, and they walk and they have clarity? يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. In Surah Al-Hadid, this ayah comes right after. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for the believers, for their hearts to find that closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khushu'. Right after it, i'lamu, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants life to dead earth. When it's earth, when there's nothing, when it's just a dead piece of land, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it life. A little bit of water, a little bit of sun, and now there's life. And just like he grants life to dead earth, he'll grant life to a dead heart as well, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both literally and figuratively. Both literally and figuratively. The concept of a resurrection and life being granted to something that is dead, so intriguing to the human being. Even though we see it all the time, even though it's something that continuously happens, we just haven't seen it on a human being, so it makes it a little bit difficult. But everything else seems to be able, That's how the soil of the earth works. It dies and then it's resurrected again, and it comes back, and then it dies and it comes back again. And it's that process of dying and coming back again and dying and coming back again that actually allows the world to exist in the form that it does. The oil that exists in the world is just billions of years worth of bark and live substances being compounded within the layers of the earth for a very long time, producing energy. Ibrahim alayhi salam shared with us that curiosity. إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Ibrahim said, "Oh my Lord, show me, how is it that you resurrect the dead?" قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِن. He said, Allah asks him, why, are you not a believer? قَالَ بَلَى. Of course I am. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. But I need, my heart, there's something in it in terms of, I don't understand how. It's the how that he was interested in, not the if. He wasn't questioning if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do it. His questioning is, how does this happen? How do you give life back? قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِّنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِّنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا ثُمَّ دُعُهُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيًا. Take for a couple of birds and slaughter them and cut them up and make them into groups and put them on the top of mountains, and they go stand far away and call upon them to come to you, and I'll send them to you. And he watched them come back again. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And know that Allah is the unfathomable and the all-wise. But this concept of resurrection, يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَيُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. He's the one who extracts death out of life and life out of death and grants that which is dead, or land that is dead, life again. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O those who believe, respond to Allah and His Prophet when they call upon you for you to do something that will grant you life. لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. He's using the term subhanahu wa ta'ala here extremely clearly. We're alive, obviously, but no, there's a different level of life. There's different ways to live. Even in our daily conversations, when we talk about people, not everyone is experiencing life in the same way. Not everyone enjoys or lives life equal to others. There are people who are alive and they're functional and they're getting out of life what they find to be enjoyable. They're learning and they're working and they're building relationships. And there are people who are struggling, people who don't have that, people who are lonely, people who can't, who are addicted to substances, people who don't have proper relationships in their lives, people who are living. They're alive, yes, they are breathing. They continue to breathe, and their heart, their organs are functioning. But are they alive? Are they actually alive? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Qur'an, لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيَّا. The Qur'an was sent so that it may grant a warning to those who are alive, like who actually have life, who understand, who can comprehend these things. Because sometimes you may be alive, but you just don't, you're in a position where it's being dead is the same. It's not that different. Because true life is the life of the ruh. Just like if you starve your body to die, if you starve your body, it will die. If you starve the ruh, it will die too. Maybe your body continues to function along, but your ruh is that actual life? Is this person actually alive? And this is what he's talking about here, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all throughout the Quran, this concept that there's different degrees of being alive. So what exactly are you doing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you the first one. You have that one. Do you have the next level? Do you understand what the next level is? To have that understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have meaning to your life. For there to be meaning and purpose for the life that you live. Because you're only here for a couple of laps around the sun. When they're done, that's it, you move on. So what was the life about? Is there purpose for it? See, someone who lives life with a purpose, with a goal, very different than someone who doesn't. The degree of fulfillment is different. The way that they see their time is very different. The way that they utilize that time is very different. And that's what he teaches here, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all throughout the Quran. And it's for sure worthy of taking. When he talks about al-akhirah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this life that you're living, this hayat al-dunya, it's la'ib and it's lahu. There's a lot of, you know, fun and game, and it's time that is spent doing things that, yeah. But truly, indeed, the hereafter, لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. الْحَيَوَانِ, today, in modern terminology, an animal is how we translate it. But that's not what it means in Arabic. No. Anything that is, you add the alif noon to, you hype the meaning of it. You make the meaning much more, understand. You make it something that is you can experience. So, for example, if your atash is thirst, atshan is someone who's very thirsty, who's experiencing the concept of thirst. So that's where my name comes from. Adn is prosperity. So Adnan is hypothetically supposed to be someone who's prosperous, but that's the meaning of it. Inshallah, لكل امرئ من اسمه نصيب. I don't know what I get out of this one, but that's the meaning of it. So when you say hayawan, haya is life, and hayawan is true life, is actual life, meaning life in every aspect of the word, and fulfilling every aspect of what this word means. And the hereafter is where you truly live. You understand what life actually means. You take upon you, you are granted the full access to what life actually is. You're alive right now. You have a limited access to what that means. It's not the premium prescription yet. You're still standard, just getting the basic of what the basic life. True life comes later, where you are able to experience aspect of life, of being alive, that you weren't able to experience here. That's the hayawan, that's where you really, really live. And when he talks about Jahannam wa al-iyadu billah, it's the same thing. لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. In Jahannam, people neither die, nor do they live. But they're alive, yes, but not really. Yes, they are alive, but not really. If you understand what he's trying to explain, subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Quran, لا يموت فيه فإن له جهنم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. والعياذ بالله, you go to Jahannam and neither will you find death, and so it's over, nor will you find a life that is worth living. I want to point out the ethic that is attached to this at the end, just because I think it's worth the ethic that is attached to it, that is an Islamic principle that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says. He says about it, لِكُلِّ دِينٍ خُلُقٍ وَخُلُقُ الْإِسْلَامِ. Every faith will have its core ethic, and Islam, this is its core ethic. And its core ethic is called haya. In haya, before you understand, you assign a word to its meaning. Just, if you're following along with me, it comes from the same route again. Okay, it's the same root again. And here is the pinnacle. If the alif noon hypes the meaning of it in terms of the experience, the alif hamza makes it the pinnacle of whatever that is. Whatever the concept is, you're giving it the highest level of that experience. That's just how the Arabic language works. And I'm not going to spend too much time with the derivatives. But that's the derivative when you add that alif hamza towards the end of it. So hayat, life. Haya means that is the epitome. That's the epitome of life. Al haya. So what we always explain it and translate it to modesty, right? Which is not a bad concept, but I want you to understand how modesty found its way into the meaning of this word, so you understand what this word actually comes from. Haya is the epitome of being alive. Haya really, in its essence, is sensitivity. It's sensitivity to surroundings and to positions and to situations and circumstances. Someone that is dead is not sensitive at all. You can poke them as much as you want. You can hit them with a hammer. You can roll it. Doesn't matter. They will not respond. They won't respond in any form because they're dead. The way that we know that someone's alive is that they are able to respond to pain, for pain and stimulus, or to joy. But if they can't respond to neither pain nor joy, that means they're dead. They're not there. So haya is sensitivity, the ability to sense change and respond to it. So if you talk about the epitome of that concept, which is what life is, because that's how do you differentiate life, is that the ability to respond to things. And if you don't feel, then you can't respond, then you don't respond, then you're not really, we don't know if we can call this alive or not. And that's something that biologists talk about all the time. When they discuss viruses and they discuss other organisms, they're not sure if they can call them alive because of that lack of the ability to do such biological functions. So if we differentiate in that way, and being alive is that sensitivity that allows you to respond to surroundings, and the epitome of that would be that the highest degree of being sensitive. So if you're sensitive to your surroundings, a part of that will be noticing how you present yourself, how you dress, and you're sensitive to the fact that, is this how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to present myself to people? And am I presenting myself to my society in a way that is within my society's and community's best interest? So we got modesty out of haya that way. But really what it is just a hyped sensitivity to where you are. Haya is when you're very aware of people around you and how they feel and what they're going through and how you're affecting them and whether they're affecting you or not. And what you're doing, is it within their best interest? Is it harming them? Is it benefiting them? That's what haya is that it's a very hyped sensitivity of knowing how your life is impacting the lives of people around you, even down to the detail. That's what haya is. It's a beautiful khuluq. It's shu'batun min al-iman. Right? It's a part of iman. When the Prophet says al-iman bid'un wa sittuna bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba, أعلاها لا إله إلا الله أدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. He says there are many branches of iman. The highest لا إله إلا الله, the lowest removing garbage off the road where people are walking. And then he points out حياء, as if this is like a very special one. If you have this one, you'll have a lot. If you have the ability to always to have that hype sensitivity with people, with the world, regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's observation of you and your relationship with people. And I think it's a beautiful concept because he is hay. He is the living, he's the alive. And he granted you haya, he gave you life. Now take it to the level where you will have haya, where you have true life, where you are sensitive and you are actually living and you're observing everything around you and you're caring about how you're impacting it in your life. How do we live with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hayy al-Qayyum? Now we're on grant life. You can, not in the literal term, but in the figurative term, either by, and if you're a physician, then that's what you do, and you should be very, very happy with that because it's a noble cause and you're granting life. If not, then through your wealth and through your support and through your aid, and help sustain life by making sure that people who are alive today can actually live life. They may be alive, but they require help to actually live appropriately. And then practice haya in your life, and that's the ultimate example of, or the ultimate use of being alive. I hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanakallah bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.